If I overtook you and you fell off...
It's a big if.
And this guy leaned in to me and he says, oh, you're that mountain biker, aren't you? And I go, I said, yeah. He goes, oh, you're my worst enemy. The other things that cause damage in the woodland, squirrels.
Squirrels.
Apparently £37 million worth of tree damage in the UK alone.
Wow.
Where do you even send the invoice for that? Welcome to this week's Global Mountain Bike Show. I'm joined by Steve and Adam to talk about some hot topics. One, well, the first one I think is pretty big news about two Vermont trail builders who've been handed $35,000 fines for unauthorized state forest trails, which I think opens up a can of worms because I think most mountain bikers have dug trails, however you want to name them, illegal or unauthorized or whatever. And I think this is a really complex case, but I think this is the first I've ever heard of anyone getting fined for it. Anyone have anything they can add to that? Has anyone you know ever gotten into trouble even for digging illegal trails?
Not that I can recall off the top of my head. So yeah, to hear someone's actually been fined for it, there must be something going on there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Tom, we get into a massive can of worms here. I think the first thing to understand is what is the type of trail they've built? Is it a goat track or is it a serious kind of piece of construction? I'd like to kind of get my head around that first of all.
We don't have a huge amount of details on this. And I don't want to go in. Obviously, this has been quite a stressful case, but someone going through court for, I think, almost 10 years and coming out of it, well, two trail builders with $35,000 fine, I think, between them. But actually, I went onto Instagram and read the post about it. So one of the people that's been fined for this has issued quite a long explanation and apology as well. So it's definitely there's some remorse in there. I think it's an interesting case where I would probably jump to the conclusion of this is out of order. Actually, when I've read the post.
Of order in which way?
I think that it seems harsh probably. Mm-hmm. But then obviously we're dealing with America, different rules to the UK. However, we have illegal trails here that people dig, obviously, and we can talk about that as well.
Yeah.
But it is a different case in there, and this is in Vermont.
So I think, Don, it looks like they've cut down 327 saplings, right?
That's right, yeah, less than 5 inches. And they actually got a fine. There was like $50 per sapling.
So first question, you know, was that a planted tree or was that natural regen? Second question is, if they're drilling into rock with machines, I assume, what's the scale of that? Yeah. And I mean, when it comes to fines, right? In the UK, if you cut down a protected tree, it's $20,000, just to put it in perspective.
Well, we saw that with the Sycamore Gap tree, didn't we? Where people
that is terrible. That is absolutely terrible. That's a national landmark.
Different story. Yeah, it's a national landmark.
But it is cutting down a tree.
Yeah.
But that's why I say I'd like more information. You know, what trees were in that woods? You know, were they yew trees? Were they kind of protected trees? It feels like we got half a story, really. But if we're going into the whole business of unauthorized trails, guilty as you like of creating probably hundreds of kilometres of deer track trails over the years.
That's millions of pounds of fines. And
I'm actually saying it on camera, but I think we'll get onto this a bit later. I think because as mountain biking has matured, I think the understanding of the need for mountain bikers making trails has become a little bit more understood. I think especially here in the UK and in different places, there are now kind of pressure groups who are trying to, you know, campaigning to get trails made. So there's ways to do this, I think, in the UK at the minute. Maybe what's happening in Vermont, I mean, if the lads didn't have any trails, they're going to go and build some trails, right? I feel it is really unfortunate. It seems to me that maybe, you know, okay, it's creating a bit of tourism in quite, I think it's quite a remote part of the US, north of New York.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to go into it. From our perspective in the UK, we've seen a lot of places, not everywhere, but a lot of illegal trails that become adopted and they become trail centres even, and machine-built trails come along as well. But these places become venues, places like Innalethan has become a bike town because of a few trails, illegal or not. I'm not 100% sure on that, but a lot of these places do start off. I'm not saying we're talking about building massive jumps or berms. It's a lot of time it's a trail that's been dragged in by hand, but often involves a bit of a slice yeah. of the chop there to open up the trails in the first place. And it becomes a positive story for the town and the trail builders, not a $35,000 fine for trail builders.
Is there a positive story for Shrewsbury done?
I think there's a lot of grey area in all this. And even the places where I ride that are official, if you look off the official trails, you'll see unofficial trails that, for the most part, are tolerated. But not all of them. If they're dangerous or if there are timber jumps, that is pulled down. Mm.
Yeah, I think I'd like to hear what the audience has got to say about it, because I think here in the UK, as a case study, I think there has now become an expectancy that the trails are dug rather than kind of raked in. Yep. And so when I say dug, I mean, you know, you can shovels and picks and maybe electric wheelbarrows and all these kind of things to manufacture these things. The roots are taken up, there's berms and there's jumps and all these kind of things.
Steve, the point I might say, I am interrupting to say,
yes, go on.
Is that once a trail becomes official, then it has to be made appropriate for loads of people to ride it all the time. Whereas a natural trail, as soon as it rains, it becomes, do you know what I mean? Inappropriate. Mm. It becomes a rutty trail that is then not officially ticking all the boxes it has to.
Hold on, can you say that again?
So once a trail becomes authorised, someone has to make sure it's safe for a certain traffic, which then means covering it with stone.
Really? That's not actually the case. I mean, there's lots of adopted unauthorised trails in the UK, which are simply deer tracks. I think,
but not as many as the smashed-in handbuilt.
Yeah, so going back to the smashed-in handbuilt, right, it's coming back to the fines, right? And I think what everyone's watching this needs to probably be to bear this in mind in case they are breaking the law, which will lead to a fine. For example, right, a few years ago, I mean, we've got some beautiful bluebell woods like you have up in Shropshire. Now, it is an offence to dig up a bluebell woods. I think it's £5,000 or something like that because it's a protected species. I mean, there was this trend for making these cutty tracks where you go shh, 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 all that kind of stuff. I mean, good fun. Do it in a timber plantation. I think that's not a problem. But to do in a bluebell woods is like, that's just a bit, that's a bit clueless, really.
I would say there probably is a bit of ignorance as well around that. It's not people choosing necessarily
But it's our job to maybe tell people, you know, there are things you can do and things you can't do.
Yeah. I would say that, like I said, there's a really sort of genuine apology on Instagram from one of the trail builders who also said, rather than dwell on what happened, I want to share what came after about learning and working to build recreation the right way, which I think can be a lesson for all of us, even if it doesn't cost us £35,000.
Yeah, I mean, I got another learning lesson. Me and the Don, actually, we did a photo shoot around the time when freeride was becoming a thing. And I was in my local pub a few months later, and this guy leaned in to me and he says, "Oh, you're that mountain biker, aren't you?" And I went, He goes, "Oh, you're my worst enemy." I was like, "Okay, that's pretty, okay." Yeah. He goes, you've been riding this line and all that. He says, "We'd appreciate if you didn't do that because we're trying to manage that bit of woodland."
Yeah.
For many reasons, for wild boar, for deer, for motorcycles causing erosion, all that kind of thing. Yep. And I said to him, I said, "I'll buy you a pint," and I said, "Look, let's work it out." I was in that pub for hours. I got quite pissed.
Chatted
to him, but we chatted, right? Yeah, I'm talking, Don, it's 20 years ago, right? It was 20 years ago, and we came to an agreement, right?
They got forgotten about it the next morning.
No, it didn't get forgotten about. But, well, it's actually in only recent times has become forgotten about because we, you know, it was a kind of, you know, gentleman's handshake kind of situation, and we didn't make trails there. That was it. We cleared off, and there was a great status quo. And then quite a well-known mountain biker recently went back and did this line, and like I've heard it kicking off again. So, you know, there's things which go on a local level which people need to understand. I mean, it could be simple things as well, not just in the woods, but how these things affect local communities, like maybe parking on the streets next to a woodland and stuff like that. But, you know, Daniel was talking about earlier about how different woodlands, different sort of land owners have different approaches. So in the Forest of Dean at the minute, I think they're creating these blocks of woodland, which are going to be blocks where trail building is kind of tolerated, at least unauthorized trails. And then there's going to be blocks of woodland, which are just for, you know, for a quiet enjoyment on foot only, which I think is cool.
And then
other areas where there's, you know, it's no-go zone, such as nature reserves and stuff like that.
Something we don't have a lot of in the UK is shared paths, shared trails like they do in the US. Often you can ride motorbikes, horses, walk. Yep. And I think that, as much as they've got more land than we have, it feels like that can, you know, conflict can happen in these places. Have you got any confessions, Adam, about trails? I've all been there.
Yeah.
A bit different scales of things.
I must admit, I've probably not dug as much as I should have done for the amount of riding I have done. But yeah, we'll probably get onto it in a bit, but it's just these shared space things you mentioned. I quite like the idea of the zones in the Forest of Dean, because if you've got riders, maybe even like horses sort of mixing in that space, they're not really two activities that sort of work together and can actually be quite dangerous when they come across each other.
What's your guys' thoughts? I mean, when things, you know, the forestry in the UK, I've got to be really careful what I say here, but like unauthorised trails are kind of becoming tolerated, I think. What happens when too many mountain bikers create too many trails in a small area? I think it just becomes a mess.
I think COVID caused that where I live. A lot of people were off work and they went crazy.
Yeah.
And I think it's calmed down a lot since then. And actually the problem trails in my area were sort of blocked off. Mm-hmm. And I think most reasonable mountain bikers, in fact, all the ones I know, said, yeah, okay, there's a reason why we can't do that there. Yeah. Maybe we'll think twice about where we do it again. Mm-hmm. And there's no shortage of good trails. And actually, one of my arguments has been about, rather than digging new ones, let's sort of maintain the ones we've already got a bit better, rather than causing conflict where you don't need it, I suppose.
I think as mountain bikers, I'm not a surfer because I can't swim, but like, it seems like a mountain bike trail is like, you know, we constantly want a new challenge, don't we? And I think there's ways that we can create trails which run for 4 or 5 years, then we shut them down, we move on, we create something new, so you let regen happen in the woods. I think we're still a long way from what the future of mountain bike trails is. What breaks my heart is that mountain biking has become a manufactured business. You look at some of the trails in the Forest of Dean and, you know, over 1,000 tons of aggregate to surface a trail. And that's not just once. That's going to have to be redone in a couple of years' time. And that, you know, that's erosion on a king-size scale in terms of mining. Do you know what I mean? You're talking about other things that cause damage in the woodland. Squirrels.
Squirrels.
Apparently £37 million worth of tree damage in the UK alone.
Wow. Where do you even send the invoice for that?
Have you ever been squirreling? I've never been squirreling.
What does that mean? Shooting them?
You're shooting the squirrels.
Oh, no. I've had one run into my front wheel and it was a goner after that.
You know, I mean, folks, you know, we live in a little island. I'm sure that that's why I'd like the audience to comment on this, because it's so much to talk about. But wild boar in the Forest of Dean, they probably do much more digging than some of the mountain bikers do, right?
Mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Because I could kick off here. I mean, loads of mountain bikers don't do any digging when they should be doing contributing, right?
Talking about comments, I looked into this on Pink Bike, this article was put up as well. And on Instagram, there's loads of comments. And I thought probably this is going to be quite one-sided, that people were saying this is crazy, getting fined. But actually, it was much more nuanced and balanced than that. For example, someone said this is pretty simple. It's not their personal property. They had no permission to build or alter the land. Cutting in about 1.5 miles of trail and cutting out vegetation and drilling into rock isn't the right thing to do. It wasn't a couple of kids that raked in a basic little trail. And there was more along that. This is the area I've ridden regularly for decades. This kind of thing can backfire, especially with landowners whose permission is needed.
There was one comment which says, well, if we don't get any illegal trails, then there won't be any trails at all.
I do have that perspective, I think. There's a lot of places I ride now would never have happened unless someone said, we need somewhere to ride a bike. And like I say, you see kids digging jumps in the woods. Sometimes it's sort of okay, sometimes it's not. They're cutting down trees or they're digging massive holes to get the dirt for the upslope, which is dangerous. But there's a lot of those around, especially where I live.
The thing is, I mean, we could go even deeper. There's like, you know, we've got the trees being cut down, we've got a rock being drilled into. What there could be an effect on water courses in the woods. You know, they might have built a trail, water might have get into a rut, it might have drained off into another part of the woodland, which is not meant to. It's a bit like farmers and chickens in the UK at the minute in the River Wye. Like, there's lots of, actually, probably won't get into that. But what I'm saying is there might be knock-on effects here, which we do not know about.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, I think we should, this discussion should be a general one on trail building. But it is concerning. I agree with you, Don. And, like, it's just sets the ball rolling, doesn't it?
Obviously, we should definitely try and remain positive and talk about the ways it should be done. I'm just slightly dubious that it doesn't always get done very often. Do you know what I mean? So you might be waiting years and years for something to be done or a pump track to be built. And a lot of kids want places to ride that they can get to.
But it comes back to my point, though, is that let's not be careful what we wish for in terms of creating mountain bike trails. I'd hate for mountain biking to become a surfaced manufactured business. You know, I think the reason we built natural trails 20 years ago is because we wanted to ride more routes and rocks and stuff like that, because that was, you know, mountain biking is evolving into, you know, more sophisticated suspension bikes, the better geometry and all these kind of things, and we wanted to test these bikes on proper terrain. So I think we need both, don't we, really?
And like I said, like Steve said, actually, I'd like to hear a lot from the viewers, particularly North American viewers. Get involved in the comments, because it is slightly different over here where we've got different sorts of landowners. I'm sure the US is a huge different variety of landowners as well, but it seems like it's controlled, maybe a bit harsher.
Sorry to go on again. I mean, you got like every country's got different rules as well, right? Yeah. You look at Italy, and they're super protective of people building trails. That, you know, the mountain bike community in some places seems to look after itself, which is a cool thing, I think.
Yeah.
So probably more of that should be needed, more communication amongst mountain bike groups generally, I think.
And whilst we're talking about being good mountain bikers, what about being good citizens on the trail? Have you seen Mega Avalanche happened just at the weekend?
Yeah.
I was watching Hugo Pigeon's POV, winning POV. He was flying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hence Pigeon.
Exactly.
Huge Pigeon.
Rich was there, so we can catch up with him. I think he did pretty well. It looked soft in the snow. But there's a video I saw on Instagram. Obviously, it's carnage. Have you guys ever done it, Mega Avalanche?
I haven't.
I know that Don's just lying in himself up there for this. Yes,
I'd love to have a crack at it.
I came off the Glacier in sixth place once.
I came off in fourth.
But like, I have my mud guy got trapped inside the back wheel, and next thing I'm down to like 15th, but I think I got top 20.
Nice,
but
nice.
Like the physicality of Mega Avalanche. Mm. But so if I overtook you and you fell off...
It's a big if.
Yes! Well, it's true. Okay, would you come back and save me?
Well, there was a POV of someone having a crash and then falling off, not a cliff, but like a bit of a drop.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rider stopped, as we all should, if someone crashes. Race or not, you should check if the mate...
I've got a true story. Yeah, I was crying here. So I'm really sorry if Steve ever gets to hear this, but I went with PT to the Mega Avalanche in Peru once.
You don't do that one anymore.
Yeah, I did qualifying with him, and I think him third or fourth, I think. Anyway, in the race, I decided to photograph it, and I swear to God, right, I'm on the outside of this corner waiting for PT to come through the shot, and I've got it lined up. It's got the big peak, 16,000 feet in the background, and there he is in the shot, press the shutter, multiple shot. Yep. Next thing, I hear this, and he literally goes down this bank. I'm like, oh, he's going to totally blame me for that. So I got on my bike and just rode off a little bit. And I thought, what am I doing? So I went back and he was just shouting and swearing. And then I actually rode in front of him, and he got back and I helped him kind of get him going again. Mm. And turns out one of the greatest mountain bike runs I've ever witnessed, because he was behind and he comes into the finish area and Tommy Misser was in front of him, and he decides to do this blind gap. And I just saw him and I thought, what are you doing? gaps misser midair wins the race. It's guys, there's a lot going on in that story, isn't there?
That's good.
It's carnage. You should definitely do it.
Yeah, 100%.
It is really physical, but and it's dangerous. Now I watch the POV, I'm like flipping out. I mean, you really have to stop it. So you see someone crash, you've got to make sure they're right, because you could end up off a cliff.
Did you see, like, it was in the Earth footage years ago, wasn't it? That bike went down.
Yeah, I think that was Mountain of Hell, but was same it? But different.
Insane.
Cartwheeling faster and faster down the hill.
Yeah, but fair dues to that guy for checking him out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think also that race, there is a temptation for people to be cutting corners and doing things like that. I've seen videos, lots of videos of Mountain of Hell, actually last 2-3 weeks ago, maybe. So being a good mountain biker, citizen mountain biker, should be more than just looking after people. It should be probably riding the trail that's in front of you as well.
And making the trails too.
Making the trails, riding the trail that you've ridden, not cutting all the corners.
Well, it's like I was up in Scotland this last week and I got to ride Heartbreak Ridge a couple of times, and you can see where people have sort of started cutting into the heather to avoid like the main, like there's a couple of little punchy climbs. They're quite rocky. They are completely doable. But yeah, people have started doing lines around the edge of it. And it's just like, well, you're there to ride that trail.
That really winds me up.
So why are you going around it?
Yeah, I guess this again comes down to us educating people that, you know, there's a natural flow to these trails. Craig, you know, I was in Germany last week and there's a beautiful woods, like the most beautiful kind of, not too kind of dense, not too kind of widespread, so there's loads of vegetation there. And probably one of the worst trails I've ever ridden.
Really?
Actually, I didn't ride it. I walked down it. But the worst trails I've ever seen, it was like...
Why?
Because there was no flow to it. So, like, coming back to your point, is like trails are created to have the perfect flow. And it's in some people's interpretation of how that trail should be. So... I don't know how I went down this rabbit hole.
I've mellowed a bit on this. I mean, I do agree that... like
you've mellowed?
Strava lines a bit. You know, the woods I ride in, and then I've blocked them off, you know, safely with a big log, so you can't even get to it.
I mean, heaven help someone who beats your Strava time, Don.
Well, but then sometimes, actually, the trail, I have to admit, improves a little bit sometimes if you're not nadgering around tight trees all the time. So I'm not quite as militant about thinking, you know, the trail was there. If you can't ride it, but learn how to ride it.
But at the expense of the flora and fauna.
True. Yeah,
I guess even more so in Scotland, right? Because of your poor soils and stuff like that.
It's all granite on the top there, and it's obviously quite wet up there, so it does rejuvenate, but it is cut so far back, you've probably got another foot on either side of the trail now.
Can I just rewind a second, though, back to the trails? And I mean, let's a lot of land managers are not whiter than white. Some of the damage they create in the woodland after they've gone and harvested their crops... It's quite shocking, to be honest with you.
That where people talk about erosion of mountain bikes, and then you see the state of a forest that they are, you know, they're taking the timber out to sell, and you think, well, anything, they leave the odd tree for the birds of prey, everything else is destroyed. And you think, well, you know, that my mountain bike tire has not caused anything near.
It's not a track, like a caterpillar track or anything, is it?
So, yeah. I mean, in my local woods, I mean, we can probably see it on camera now where I went riding with James in the winter. And like the rut is literally, it's probably...
Is that the one you disappeared in?
Yeah. It's like, it's probably 3 foot deep. Yeah.
Blimey.
Like, how long is that going to take to, I don't know.
Is it ever going to fix?
Well, maybe in 100 years' time, I don't know.
Slightly more lightheartedly, have you seen this video of someone cornering so hard they turned around backwards? Hey. It looked like the guy was going to roll out of it. He was looking over his shoulder to try and come out of this.
I do remember overtaking you in Mountain Ash many years ago, and you were like, what the heck happened there?
But this is, I've never seen a crash like this one. It's like a Mario Kart banana spin in the corner turned into a backflip. Very impressive.
Don, before you got on, you forgot to tell us how you got on the Mega Avalanche.
10th.
Avalanche,
Steve. Yeah, that was a while ago.
It's captured people's imagination, the Mega Avalanche.
I've only done it once, and once is enough for me.
Really? Sorry to go down a tangent again. Cornering.
Well, no, I was thinking of the funniest or weirdest crashes we've ever had. There's some funny ones from the GMBN and the EMBN archive. I'm thinking of Chris Smith trying to go up a bench. Have you seen this? Steve, have you been in a stream or two?
Adam knows that I've been. You brought that up deliberately, didn't you? I've been in, I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it, really? But I've been in.
What's the dumbest one I've done? I've probably just, like, mistimed a pedal stroke, clipped it on a stump or something, just stopped dead, and then had the bike come over the top of me and hit me in the back of the head. But
it's almost insulting, isn't it, when the bike whacks you on the back? That was bad enough already. What have I done? What haven't you done? I've got a thorn in my, you know, like a when it get a thorn, but you get the rest of the like twig as well with it, and it's like a dunk dunk dunk. And I tried to buzz that off my tire with my front foot into the front tire, and my foot went into the crown, and I did the world's biggest over the bars, and I was on lovely like soft grass, but I went over the bars and landed face first on the tarmac road that I was just crossing. In my cross-country kit, Garmin flying off.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty stupid.
I remember a blackthorn once within my finger, and I left the part of the branch there to try to pull it out. Got home, still wouldn't come out. Got pliers on it, tried to pull it, still wouldn't come out. I'm thinking, no, that's not right. Shall I cut it? No, leave it. Go to the doctors. Went to the doctors. He took one look. He goes, oh, you won't get that out. I said, what do you mean? I said, I want you to take it out. He goes, oh, I can't take it out.
No way.
So he said, just leave it 3 days. It'll pus up and it'll pop out. 3 days went.
It went, stick on the end of your finger.
Yeah, I literally had a stick in the end of my finger. Literally 3 days later, it pussed up. I was watching TV and I went like that. I was so satisfying.
What sort of doctor was this?
I don't know.
Backstreet
tree surgeon?
I've seen that in, I was riding in Laguna Beach. You ever in that to
Were you riding in Laguna Beach?
I've never ridden a bike in America.
Ben Reed rode into a cactus, and same thing there. It wouldn't come out. You had to get pliers. It's like the cartoons. Mm. Cactus is pretty bad, actually. Mm. I think it almost looked like it went into the bone. It was stuck in so hard.
Savage.
I don't know if it
I think that's probably the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
That is the stupidest thing. It's the most annoying injury I've ever had.
Oh, high five a tree.
Snapped, what's it called, tendon.
Mm.
Yeah, it's so pathetic. But the thing is, you've just got to it's not going to.
One of the most embarrassing things I did, it wasn't actually a crash, it was the Fort William World Champs. I got bucked on that big jump near the end and I buzzed my peak on my front tyre in a skin suit.
A man of your caliber.
I managed to ride out. I didn't crash. I just buzzed my so like that. I was lying like that on the jump in front of everybody, family.
So your family turned
live camera. Look at this guy. What's
oh no, there we go. That was the saying about getting bucked on a jump. That trip to Girona last year.
Oh.
When that was that 30-foot double.
Yeah, just I remember seeing
blind following Ferg. And you can see on the chest cam footage, you can see the back of the seat.
Yeah.
It's like, how on earth did I get all the way back there? And like, yeah, I remember seeing the floor and just thinking, collarbone.
It's one of the worst feet.
What bike did you get bucked on?
Santa Cruz.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was that?
07.
Oh, wow, okay.
Almost 20 years ago. Riding world champs.
Mm.
Right, that's it for this week's show. Like I said, get involved. I'd love to know your comments on that fine for trail building. If everyone who builds trails should be fined, or if there is a certain amount of respect we should be given to landowners trying to get permission first, definitely leave your comments down below.